Good morning and welcome to Christ Today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the freedoms we enjoy today, especially for our freedom to worship you, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Thank you for the sacrifices of every kind made by those who came before us, men and women who came to this land, America, with the desire to worship you freely, in the best way in which they knew how, and then who wanted to proclaim the gospel, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which brings eternal hope to all who accept his free gift. We see that in every country and in every society, mankind has desired freedom. It seems America, among nations, has had freedom's brightest light. From its early days, when men did come to this new land with the desire to worship God fully and freely, we Americans have had to struggle and fight to obtain and maintain that freedom. These fights have sometimes in the past been with barons, or with barristers, or sometimes with other church people, or even the government. Yes, struggles have abounded. On occasion, some men of Christian faith have refused to serve in America's armed forces because they would not agree to be a part of an army which went to kill other men. In the past, many of these men instead would be jailed for the years that they would have served in the military. Oh yes, Lord, there have been many struggles with branches of Christianity, or with conscientious objectors, or with some racist situations. Oh Lord, we have been in struggles over time. Today, we are thankful that so much of our military has had a morality that is based in Christian values. Today, we can be thankful that our military has ample food, clothing, and boots, so that no one must serve under the difficult conditions that existed in Valley Forge, where some of the soldiers were wrapping their feet in rags to protect them from the cold. This was under the command of General George Washington, that great man of God who was our nation's first president. His reputation was as a man of upstanding Christian virtue. Thank you for raising him up and equipping him to be the man of talents that he was. Heavenly Father, on this Memorial Day weekend, I want to thank you for giving us the men who had a heart of love for their fellow men or for mankind, who fought so that we could be free today. Free, especially to worship you, Father, to worship you freely and to have the rights which we enjoy today. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the many, many gifts, for the freedoms, for the blessings which we enjoy today. Heavenly Father, I ask that you show us, we who are willing to serve you, how we may the most effectively do so. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Christianity is this nation's heritage, and we would do well to remember it. Sometimes in life here on earth, I think about enjoying life just as it is. I think of enjoying the natural beauty of this earth. I think of the simple things, you know, like rocks and the sky, and I enjoy those things. But there are other times when I see the difficulties in life, the ones that are going on in the world around us, sometimes my own personal difficulties. And I have seen problems around the world, for myself, for others, and about why things are sometimes the way they are. Well, I see situations setting themselves up for problems to occur in the near future. There are problems of various sorts, and certainly we don't know exactly what they will be, but we can see that there are situations coming that are potential problems. And I know that most of these problems can be avoided because we can make adjustments in what we see, what we think, and what we do. However, these days, there are so many circumstances and so many complexities that are pointing towards becoming a real problem, I think some of them just might come about and affect each one of us, each one of our lives. And so, what do? I want to shout that alarm, the alarm to say, be prepared and think, plan, and do. You see, I think God wants us to be free and prosperous, both so that we can freely worship Him and so that we can enjoy being free and sharing what we can with other people. This, I think, is a part of what being a Christian is about. And this is also why I say prepare, so that we can have enough to share with others. After all, it is ever so much easier to share if you have plenty. But if you're just barely getting by, it's not always what we want to do, to share what we have. And as I read the Bible, there are many lessons to illustrate why we can share and the benefits of being free. I think about how we can maintain both our life and our freedom. And I also note that there's one passage in the Bible that says, be in the world, but not of it. There's lots of room here to understand how to live these principles in the best way that we can. And certainly there's lots of warnings of what not to do in the Bible. Some warnings are complex, but most of them are simple. We just pay attention and we can see things. One of these warnings is to be not deceived, and that is written a number of times in the New Testament. Be not deceived. And another passage that I like is that great commandment, the one in Matthew 22:37, which is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, ... and to love thy neighbor as thyself. And I know very well that there are some people who will say, "Ah, but Jesus is referring to the Old Testament law here." And that if you want Jesus' New Testament law, you want to go to Jesus' New Testament commandment, which is John 15:12. And it reads, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Well, I still give you the commandment in Matthew 22:37 because I like it, and it acknowledges Jesus' commandment to love one another. Yeah, have a look at it. You get to decide these things for yourself. There's a lot of freedom in Christianity. There's a lot of freedom as God examines you in the judgment and how your mind works, how your thoughts go. And I think these are a part of the things we are judged on. But I'm not trying to get into a theological discussion here. I'm just saying, have a look and study God's Word, and then apply these things the best that we can understand in our life, the best that we know how. But you have to look, you have to study it, and discern what the differences are. So do that. Yes, and I'll tell you, I have gone through life and seen very much deception in life. Just about always, if we want the real truth, and we want not to be deceived, we have to look at it. We have to examine the issues, examine things, and look closely. So that's a part of the looking that I'm trying to convey, is what kind of things are ahead, what kind of things just might be coming our way. And I describe these things so that you can see them too. And if you agree with what I see, what these potential problems are, then you can take steps of preparation too, according to what you see. After all, we are all free and we all are independent. We can do things that we understand to be the best to do. So this is one of the things that I try to do and talk about, I look at the ideas, I examine the things that you might like to do to prepare, and I present them to you. And to me, this is all what God has in mind. He wants us free. He wants us to look at these things and to be guided in a biblical manner. So that's what I try to convey to you. As you examine these things, I hope that you think, plan, and do, and continually strengthen your relationship with God and ask for protection from the evil that is around us. After all, we are in a battle. There are secret plans being made, plans against God, against the world, against the people of the world, and against us, God's people. We are in a war. And as the late Stanley Monteith said, we are in a spiritual battle being played out on an economic and political playing field. The battle is going on around us. There's no doubt about that. And I do remember about a year and a half ago, Pope Francis said that we are in the early stages of World War III. Now that he was talking about as a real world war, not just the spiritual battle that confronts us, the spiritual battle which is taking place on an economic and political playing field. No, he's talking about things that will go on in the world. And there can be all sorts of different methods of war and warfare, but I think that we could pay attention to someone as understanding and influential as Pope Francis, who says that we are in the early stages of World War III. Very interesting. Well, I look also in Matthew 24, verses 3 and 4, and in short, what it says is, "What shall be the sign of your coming? It is wars and rumors of wars." Those are the signs of his coming. Wars and rumors of war. And then it continues. that, and the end is not yet, for there shall be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. Yeah, you have a look at it, please, and read it fully, not in short like I just did. But I want to bring these things to your attention so that you can see these things are coming. And, yeah, we don't know quite exactly when, but we can see the signs. We can see that we are about in the season. These things are coming. So don't you think it only makes sense to make some preparations for that just-in-case situation? Yeah, get some food. I like to think of water and food and just various supplies. So that if things do become difficult, if things do become chaotic, I don't know that we will be able to have much help. I don't know that there will be many resources around to take advantages of. And you want to be responsible. You want to take care of the people who you love and be a part of what a family is, showing that kind of compassion and care. So all these things, I see good sense in being prepared for that just-in-case situation. I have run into those people who say that we don't have to prepare because God will provide. And I know it does say that. There's a couple of places where it talks about, didn't God clothe the lilies of the field? And they don't not have to worry about what they shall wear or what they shall eat. Now, if this is your orientation, I ask you to reread those certain passages and look around those passages and get the full context of what they mean. Before you stake your own life and the life of your loved ones on those passages, I ask you to just be sure that you understand that that's their meaning. And you decide what the truth is, and this impacts your ability to serve God for a time on this earth. Whether you have difficulties or not, you can serve Him better in good health and with what you need. So have a look at these passages if that's you. There's things going on in the world. It's in every sense, in every way, in the physical sense, in the financial sense, in lots of things, there are challenges coming upon us. I noticed that today there are about 30 volcanoes actively going off. Volcanoes. There were many years when we didn't even have one, but now there are 30. And if you think about the volcanic ash, if that gets thick, it could block the sunlight from the earth. It could greatly reduce the yield of our food crops. And if it lowered the temperatures around the earth, again, that would reduce food crop yields. And it would also be a kind of uncomfortable for us to have a big drop in the temperatures and having things freeze and snow come about. Yeah, it would be quite a difference. And it has happened in the past. So I know there's lots of people who, or at least there's quite a few, who think about chemtrails and what they're doing. I can't say that I know this, I know it's a question, and so I look at it. And there are widely said to be spraying nano-sized particles of aluminum into the air. And this also reduces the amount of sunlight which reaches the earth. I don't think that's the reason behind chemtrails, but I know that it's something that that is a possibility, or at least a byproduct of whatever is going on. I don't know what it is, but I do wonder. There's things to wonder about, and I do wonder about the financial areas too. I think about that. because that's kind of my history. I've looked into it for decades, and I've seen the things that have gone around in this country and gone around in the world financially. I remember the 2008 near collapse in the United States. I see signs that it is having a repeat of the situations which led up to it. And that has been going on for about 2 years. So it's possible that we could see another crash, but this one would be more serious by far, very much farther. I see people around the world in various countries that have more debt than they can be comfortable with. They can hardly service the debt that they have. The interest rates have been a question, and they're so low that it has stifled the savings habits that various peoples of the world have had. And it's just greatly causing the spending and saving habits of people everywhere. There is becoming a shortage of cash, and that is happening all around the world. Even in China, which was once thought to be the booming economy, there's a shortage of cash. Companies don't have enough currency or credits to operate. And there are bankruptcies beginning to happen everywhere around the world. This is a trend that is expected to increase. Even in the United States, here we are seeing our economy declining and slowing. It's going on everywhere. Now, it might not continue, but the more and more indicators that it will continue. And there's a number of, that is a growing number of economists and financial people who are predicting some kind of a collapse, an economic crash, and that has increased over the months. More and more people talk about it. Can we get our way out of it? I think it's possible, but I do see more and more people having that momentum of a big financial difficulty coming to this point. And it's not that I'm predicting this, but I certainly understand there are greater and greater chances of it occurring. And there are plenty of people who say that if a crash is coming, it could easily be as bad as the 1929, or you could call it the 1930s, Great Depression. So I just think that whatever we see, whatever we do, we should have some planning for that just-in-case situation. And part of me does not like to talk about these difficulties coming, but a part of me also says I should, and I should talk about it to warn people about the possibilities. And then once you understand them, you can figure out what to do. You can figure if you want to make steps towards preparations. And I would say, what's so wrong with preparing anyway? If we buy food supplies, we will eat it anyway. If we buy batteries, we will use them anyway. It's just that we're buying things that we use in advance before we need them, and that is a form of preparations. I think preparations are a good idea. We could have an earthquake, a natural disaster of some sort, a trucker's strike, maybe a pandemic, or an electrical outage. And I know in recent days there's been talk about war, or even in North Korea. It's so unlikely, but sure, all these things are possible. Or what about the Orville Dam? That could break. That has supplies a large, as I recall, it was 20-something percent of our electricity in the state is supplied by the Oroville Dam. And it also supplies the water for California's food crops. So, I mean, they're just possibilities. These are the remote ones, but still possible. I just think it makes some sense to get some things for just in case we have troubles coming. I know that there's talk about our nation's unemployment, too. There's further talks about job cuts here and there in various industries, and those are being anticipated later on in this year, and a few for right now. Why, did you hear about the fast food restaurant that there's a state that is requiring by law that employees will be paid $15 per hour? So that fast food restaurant is saying it's going to change its operation into kiosks that use machines to accept cash and to dispense food automatically, and it will only employ one person to cook the food. Well, things can change. Don't forget that they can change, and we already have such a significant unemployment in this country. There are things that can change our circumstances. You could look at the law that was put in place to force businesses to provide health care for the 40-hour per week employees. So now many employers are telling their employees to work 30 to 39 hours per week, and that's what they're doing so that they don't have the extra costs. Yes, we are in a battle. We are in a battle. It's spiritual, it's physical, it is a battle in every way. And we ought to look at it so that we can arm ourselves, prepare for what could be coming. Historically, people have always had hard times. They've had economic slowdowns and situations that have occurred. Sometimes famines even. All sorts of things have happened. And so to me, I see these things as a history person, and I see, yes, let's get some preparations. I do say that we ought to maintain and further develop our relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the first thing. I know I do like also Ephesians 6:10, 10 through 20. That's one of my favorite passages. I'm going to read that because that's one of the things I think is so important for us. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wile of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Well, that one just speaks to me. I like that passage. So, we see things are possible. Some of us see handwriting on the wall that we ought to look more closely at. And I say that, one of the things I look at is the number of politicians that have been saying for the last years, peace and safety, or they say peace and security. These are things that are being said, and I say, yes, peace and safety, and what comes next? and then sudden destruction shall come. Oh, I don't know what this means to you, but I just think again, preparations are a good idea. First, in your spiritual relationship with God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. And secondly, with loving those people who are around you. And that includes caring for and praying for the eternal salvation of others. And thirdly, it means to get physically what we need to live. This is water, food, and warmth. In past broadcasts, I have given ideas for preparedness, and I have talked about some of the reasons why we can consider being prepared. And if you'd like to check out the past broadcasts, please do, and just listen for a couple of minutes to one or another and see what they are talking about here and there in that 1 hour. And if you like it, listen or skip around to another part of the broadcast or another broadcast. Skip through that one too. See if you like it. There's different ideas and things I cover. And also, there's a number of guests that I have. You might like one of them. They're good guests. So go ahead and check that out at the www.christtoday.org. And that is all lowercase and with no spaces. Yeah, I wish I could capitalize Jesus or the Christ. But this was already taken for Christ Today. Please have a listen to those 2017 broadcasts if you would like. There's a number of things that are covered, a number of subjects, and often enough it's preparedness. Now, you might have something you'd like to hear about the subject of preparedness, and if you would, I invite you to send me an email at prepareforgod@usa.com. And that's spelled out, there's no letters, and it is all lowercase and no spaces. So have a listen and see what you think or see what you'd like to hear. Remember, Jesus is the number one importance. That is for sure the number one. But we also have physical things that can help us for that just-in-case situation. Do we know what it is? No, we don't. But a little preparation now will help all sorts of things that we don't even know what they could be about. So just give it some consideration. I think back to the mission trips that I've gone on in Thailand. I think of the Christians there. There were maybe 3% of the population that were Christian believers. I think of the surrounding countries and where Christians were persecuted, and the number of Christians in those countries was about double that, about 6% of the population. I thought it was very interesting how there was freedom to be a Christian in Thailand. Christianity rate was 3% of the population, but where the Christians were persecuted in the countries around Thailand, the rate of Christians in the population was about 6%. I think that's pretty interesting. I think about the facts that in lands where Christians are persecuted, Christianity grows. Now I think that's because when we people are persecuted, we have to look very deep inside ourselves. And as we search, we discover that there is a spiritual connection to God. God through Jesus Christ. We recognize that truth as we search. And that puts us in a position where we are going to carry on the light of Jesus Christ in the world. And that means we become Christians and express our faith to others. We let people know by our prayer and by our actions that what we're doing is we're sharing the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the hope of the world, and we share Jesus Christ with the world and certainly with people around us. And I think I'd like to do that before there is the persecution that is indicated. I know it's indicated in Matthew chapter 24 and in other places. It talks about persecution. And that is something I think we all want to avoid, and yet we pray for Christianity to increase, for salvation, eternal salvation, to be known and understood by people everywhere. Yes, but we don't like the persecution part. Well, that's just a situation we get to deal with as best we know how. So remember, also remember that if you'd like to support the message that I'm giving out, I'm very happy to have your financial support. I'm not begging for money, but I certainly appreciate anything that you'd like to put forward to so that this message continues. And if you'd like to send a donation, by all means do to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Also, for free, if you'd like, I will send you my brief two-page. It's two pages front and back, and it's a preparedness pamphlet. It's intended to have you think about things towards preparation and what you can do. So if you'd like that, yes, just send a stamped self-addressed envelope, please, and I will put that in the mail to you. And I'm glad to have you listening, because there are things that we all need to pay attention to. Every one of us needs to pay attention to what is going on around us. We hear there's things, and some people are pretty scary. That is, the things that they say. And I think that we need to use discernment and discretion and not believe everything that we hear. Certainly not, but we also want to give some examination of the things that are proposing the negative things happening, the difficulties that are just maybe coming this way. So it's not that I'm predicting them, but I'm listening to the people who do, and I'm trying to figure out how much importance to put on these ideas or predictions. And you do that too, because that is how we come to a position where we say, oh, this is something reasonable to do, or this is not something reasonable to do. You might have already determined what your ideas are. And so I've tried to examine what to do. Like I said, look at my last shows. Listen to them, because there are some ideas there too. There's things going on all over the world. There are things going on in this country. We look at what has happened with currency problems in Greece, in Cyprus, in Venezuela. There's troubles right now going on in Spain and in Portugal and Italy. And there's things that might come to this nation. Oh, yes, I should mention India. India, where they took their roughly equivalent to $20 bill away, and they just said, we're not going to have this bill anymore. And the government gave them 3 hours to turn all their $20 bills in. You know, it was less than $20 bills. But the point is the government simply took away that money and said, these are not going to be usable after today. So a lot of people went to credit cards and various money cards. But the point is, it happened. It happened to a very large economy, a very large number of people. Could it happen here? Now, that's my point. It happened in India. The things like that happened in Venezuela. And Venezuela is having lots and lots of problems. There's lots of things going on. There's negotiations. There's supplies. There's military movements. All sorts of things that are suggesting that we could have problems. There's problems there's potential problems with the supply of oil. There's potential problems with the supply of materials or the shipping going here and there. All these things are potential problems, and they are growing in importance because if you control certain items, you can control the people, and that means control the nation. Huh, yeah, that's what way back a couple of decades ago or more, there was Henry Kissinger who said something like that, that if you control the water, you control the people. My point is there are people who want to control you, and there's some things that we can do about it. Can we be perfectly free of the system? No, we can't. But there's things we can do to make any difficult situation a little easier. There's potential problems, and one of them that I see is so easily disrupted is our electrical grid. That's something which could affect every single person. The monetary situation I talk about sometimes, and there are people who say that we will have our money split into a domestic dollar and an international form of money, which could be something like a dollar too, or it could be SDRs, which are special drawing rights. All these things are moving right now. There are movements to make one thing or another happen, and the financial powers of the world are struggling to gain control over the system that they have the most influence over so that they can dominate the world economy. All these things are happening right now. There is international struggle. This is part of the warfare that's going on. And I think that's a part of what Pope Francis was talking about, that this is a form of warfare, financial warfare, where we can collapse economies, and that means the country will suffer. Now, I do notice there's all these different things that are going on. They are flowing. They are fluid. They are moving, and we don't know how they will settle. And I know I like to think of World War I as an example. How did that get started? It was a small situation which turned into a world war. And this could happen again with the treaties, with the alliances that are formed and forged. All these things are happening. And with the stress of our domestic economy struggling, why, there's 84 million people who are outside of the United States labor force. 84 million people. And 43 million people, Americans, are on food stamps. 43 million. One in five Americans of working age are not working. And so many of our manufacturing jobs have been lost, have gone to other countries. We are in a position where there is domestic difficulty. There's so many things going on that could just push us into a very difficult position economically, and that will push us into a very difficult situation in the society. So that, on top of the agreements that have been taking place worldwide, there are agreements that are already forming the structure of finances. And it's funny because I hear these things on the news, and I know that the agreements have been signed a year, maybe 2 years ago, and it's just being talked about as though it's just coming into the news right now. But there are plans. We are in a war. We have to fight for our survival. All these things are situations that could suddenly break upon us. And this, in the middle of our society's moral values being harmed and taken away, you know, pretty much most people think it's wrong to sexually abuse children. But do we talk about the 1,500 pedophile arrests that were nationwide just in recent months? There's things going on. There's a form where our nation is struggling to maintain morality. And this is a good reason to promote your Christian beliefs, because it will safeguard you, your family, and this society. If we do fall apart, we have other considerations. Sure, things will come back together, but after how long? After weeks? After months? After years? We have a situation which has been talked about as men in the past decades have prophesied. Yes, I know this is a really funny tangent to go on, because there have been false people with false prophecies, and yet you look at, there's a bulk of things, and where do they stand? There has been talk about the division of the United States. When the United States allows Israel to be divided, then the United States will be divided by a great earthquake. And you know, how do you really analyze these things? I don't know that you can, except to say that it's a possibility. Look at it. Just give it some thought, because if it were to happen, what would we do? We would be suffering. There would be no clean water to speak of, no food in excess, and people would be fighting for the resources there were. And there would be fighting to restore peace. And there would be chaos all over the place. All sorts of unlawful activity going on. It would be difficult. So we don't want these bad decisions to be made. We want to have safety. We want to have a law, a nation of law. And all these things we want to be concerned about. If things were to get bad, why, they could get very bad, and we would have to take upon ourselves the thinking of what has happened in other countries, where you need to form a community, where you need to have resources, where you need to know how to trade resources, trade things, trade food, not look like you have anything that's desirable, because if you do, you will be killed for what you have. This has happened in all sorts of different countries around the world. All these things have happened. It's nothing new. And the conditions of health, why, they deteriorate rapidly. Diarrhea is one of those things that is just so prevalent when conditions deteriorate. Wounds that are ordinary and common become infected, and people die from. Children die very, very rapidly. It's hard to keep their hands away from things, and diseases spread. And then you also have a criminal mind that works in a very bad way. There's all sorts of things that happen, and we need to recognize that not to plan for it, but just to realize that if there's a 10% chance that something like this would happen, or a 20% chance that something like this would happen, well, put 10% or more of your time, of your resources, into how you would overcome that. We don't want to have these thoughts, and certainly not to live with them. I don't, you shouldn't, but we should realize that people have in the past died from illness, or a disease that has spread, or from bad water, or from thieves in the night, or thieves as you travel, or for thieves as you trade. All these things. And what happens then? You become, well, living in great difficulty. There's some things that become important if that was to happen. I know that in many nations that have had these difficulties, arms become so common, ammunition becomes so common, and so desired and so traded. What can I say except I notice it. I notice antibiotics become valuable. Candles and lighters and batteries become valuable. Of course, food and water is always an issue. So does water containers. So does soap. So does laundry soap and hand soap. All these things become in short supply. Now, does that mean you should get them? Well, I leave that up to you, but I don't think there's wrong with having a few of these things at hand in your storage closet or wherever you put them. No, your whole thinking changes if we ever get into that position. We have to think about forming a community, having a large family or a community with similar beliefs and values. That's what you do. You recognize that you want to have those Christian ideals and not become a target. You still have to be wise if these conditions come about. You need to learn who reliable people are. You want to learn who sensible and reasonable people are. You want to learn that if there are dangers on the street, you have to approach the street with great care. So all these things are what you consider a little bit, just a little bit, so that if you ever have the situation develop, that you are prepared to think about it. Think about having your home look unattractive to looters. You think about you looking unattractive to thieves. You think about how your skills will be developed and how you will need to be considerate of all the things that are going around. You will need to know a little bit about medical. You will know how important it is to wash your hands, for instance. And you will know how to treat a simple injury, because in hard times, simple injuries can easily become deadly. And this is one of the things that you especially have to be aware of for children. Children have to be watched very closely. They have to learn to become obedient, because the ones who are not, they will get into things that will harm them. They will learn that, the people will learn that safety is so very important. Safety in every way, in medical, in cleanliness, and in physical safety from the thieves and the difficulties around. So all these things we hope to avoid. We hope that it never gets to be like this. And what does it take? It takes awareness. It takes thought. And if we want to have some planning for that just in case, it takes that too. Plan for the just in case in small increments, because we don't want to have our thinking become turned to that difficult way of thinking where we're expecting a collapse of the economy, no. Or where we're expecting a collapse of society, no. We don't want to think of losing our jobs or losing our social connections or losing our phone systems or electricity or water. No, that's not what we want to do. But just consider, if there's a 10% chance of something happening, put 10% of your thoughts into what you would do for that just-in-case situation. And like I said, if you think there's a 20% chance of it happening, then put 20% of your thoughts and attention into it. Your spare thoughts, your spare income. But all these things, just give it some consideration so that in case it happens, you have already considered the most basic elements of it, and you are prepared by your thoughts for the just-in-case situation. So, these are what we think of, these are what we listen to, and then, remember, some preparedness for that just-in-case minutes, or just-in-case situation. Thank you for listening today, and I hope that you continue to listen as I try to bring this message, firstly of Jesus Christ and his love for us, and then for the situations that we just might face and how we can work how we can do things that are desirable for his kingdom. And thank you for listening. And we give thanks to God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit for being our salvation. Amen. Till next week.